Well, good morning again, and it is always a joy to worship with you, and especially on this Mother's Day. I hope you covered your bases, because as the old saying goes, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. It's true in at least one household, we'll say that. So we three boys try to do our best to take care of the queen. But we love our queen. Me and the boys, we love her. Well, my dad told me something I didn't understand at the time when I was very young, but I certainly do now. He said that one of the hardest things about growing up is finding out that your parents are not perfect. As I was growing up, I thought I had a pretty normal life with some pretty good parents. Every day of the week, my dad would get up and go to work. And every day, my mom would get up and go to work in the house, raising three kids, cleaning house, doing laundry, baking cookies, preparing dinner, canning, and sewing outfits, just to name a few things in her day. There was a rule in our house, though, that men did outside work and women did the inside work. Secretly, my mom taught me how to sew, cook, and do laundry because she didn't want me to grow up and be a chauvinist like my dad. That was a word I didn't understand at the time, but I'm sure Carla is glad that my mom taught me that word. In fact, it was unbelievably weird when I went to spend a night at a friend's house and his dad cooked dinner. I didn't know that was possible. I think I was 12 before I saw my mom drive a car that my dad was in. And that was only because he had seriously hurt his right foot and couldn't drive. It was just weird seeing me in the passenger seat and my mom at the wheel. Something just wasn't right there. As we got older, my mom continued being mom. Plus, she added a part-time job and added hauling us to every practice and school activity imaginable. There were hints along the way that maybe mom wasn't perfect. But boy, did I think she was at least close to perfect. Yeah, her and my dad had an occasional fight, and yes, she smoked, but growing up, I thought everyone but the preacher smoked. And then one day, it happened. I was 19 and in my second year of college. I got a call from my little sister saying my mom wasn't coming home anymore. She had packed up and moved out into a friend's house. And I thought, well, okay, she had a fight with dad. They did seem to have a few more fights over the last few months, but she will be back. And within a month, she moved in with a male coworker. And now it seemed really evident she wasn't coming back. I was hurt. I loved my parents, and I was learning that they weren't perfect. And as much as I loved my mama, I thought my dad was Superman. And how could my mom leave him? That spring was my little sister's senior year, and she got hurt the worst. Prom was supposed to be a special night for young ladies, spending the day with mom getting all dolled up. Well, my sister certainly couldn't go to the apartment of my mom's coworker, so my mom came back to the house to help my sister Becky. And boy, that was awkward having mom back in the house. Becky went off to prom already with an awkward start. Her date ruined the night when he expected her to make his prom a little extra special. And I remember I was up when she came home and she was just crying her eyes out. A night she certainly needed her mommy, and her mommy wasn't there. I hugged her, and I quickly offered to go track down and beat up this young man. But she didn't need that. She needed mommy, and mommy wasn't there. As graduation approached for her, I found out that she wanted to be a graduation speaker just like me. She had tried out and won the opportunity earlier in the year. But after mom left and we knew she wasn't coming back, my sister had to turn down the opportunity because, you see, her speech was about mom and dad. And now it would be a speech she just couldn't give. That summer, I got introduced to my mom's boyfriend, and I wasn't a happy camper. He wasn't my dad. He wasn't anything like my dad. In fact, you'd almost say he was the complete opposite of my dad. My mom left in March, moved in with this guy in April, divorced my dad in June, and remarried in July. That was a big ouch. That was a bitter pill to swallow. Not only did I find out my mom wasn't perfect, not only had my mom crushed my sister's senior year, not only did she leave my Superman dad, she said to me one day during all of that turmoil, "You're just like your father." And I know at the time she wasn't talking about my looks. I was, and still sometimes, too much like my father, both good and bad. But my mom was divorcing my father, and if she thinks that I'm too much like him, does that mean she hates me too? Needless to say, the next few years were difficult, and Mother's Day was a very hard day for me. To send the card and smile and, yeah, let's go to dinner, Mom. The first 18 years of my life, I had what I thought was a great mama, and now I wasn't sure. Mother's Day is a joyous day for many and a hard day for others. For many, they didn't have an ideal mother. Some had no mother at all. And yet, for others, they had a great mom, but now they are celebrating her memory, which can also be tough. And for many mothers, this isn't the grandest of days either. They have suffered in many ways through divorces. Some mothers have lost children to drugs, illnesses, and to other tragedy. There are women who wanted to be a mom but weren't unable to have kids. And they struggle mightily as they see other moms celebrate why they have no kids of their own. Some unable to conceive, and some that have had miscarriages. Some women have gone through abortions or given their children up for adoption, and Mother's Day is a hard day for them. And I want to go to our scriptures and look at a hard Mother's Day for Mary. We touched on this a few weeks ago when we heard Jesus say from the cross, "Behold your mother and behold your son," as he was looking down at John and Mary. And while we know there was no official holiday called Mother's Day in the Bible, but there were times she was a beaming mother and other times it were anything but a joyous day to be the mother of Jesus. We should all remember that Mary didn't have normal conception with Jesus or a normal birth. The first 3 years were about angels and wise men and miracles and other signs of a special baby. And then they had to move to avoid the murder of their firstborn son because he was the Messiah that King Herod feared. But the Bible does tell us this about Mary. As a baby, we see in Luke that, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him." And then as he grows up, Mary and Joseph find young Jesus teaching in the temple. And again in Luke, he says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And again, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." We catch these glimpses of Mary and Jesus, how Mary treasured Jesus and everything that happened to him. Jesus was smart, wise, good little church boy, right? He was probably popular with all the old ladies who went and squeezed his cheeks, you know. But I'm sure as he approached the age of 20, the ladies of the temple were probably talking about Mary and her still single son. And then as he approached 30, the unmarried Jesus probably raised more than a few eyebrows. But all the while, Mary knows that he is gifted. And in John chapter 2, we go to the wedding. On a third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So Jesus performs his first public miracle, and it was a good one, right? He saves the wedding and gives them the best wine. But as Jesus begins his ministry, things start to turn somewhat. Jesus is on the road all the time with his disciples. He's finally out of the basement, right? Gone. He's stirring up controversies and speaking out against the religious leaders. Jesus is healing people and drives out demons. Mark writes that whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And as the story continues, Mark writes this: "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" When his family heard this, they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub." Boy, I can't even say that word. Beelzebub. It's one of those words that just will not roll off my tongue, no matter how many times I try. But he said, "By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." The religious leaders are upset with him. They accuse him of being on the dark side. Even his own family at this point thinks he has finally flipped. They proclaim he is out of his mind. And then to top it off, he denies his own mother. And we'll look at how Matthew tells the rest of this story. It says, "While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you.'" And we all know when mama wants to speak to you, you know you might be in trouble. But then he replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Who is my mother? Did he just say that? Could you imagine being Mary outside the door? "Who's my mother? Don't you know who I am? I raised you, you know?" Here was mommy's perfect little angel. The Jesus who couldn't do anything wrong. The Jesus who had a special birth. The Jesus who Mary pondered in her heart. The Jesus that stood up and taught from the scrolls in the temple. Did he just blaspheme his own mother? This was a big deal. Not only do the scriptures say, "Honor thy father and mother," they also say things like this: "My son, keep your father's commands and forsake not your mother's teaching." "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death." These are some serious scriptures about having respect for mom. And Jesus says, "Who is my mother?" Luke didn't write down that day that Mary treasured all these things in her heart that day, did she? That wasn't a moment, was it? But I think she knew. I think she understood when he said the following. Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." None of us had a perfect mother, and no mothers here are perfect. But all of us here are called to do the will of the Father. And since it's Mother's Day, I'm speaking mostly to the women of this church, but this does apply to everyone. All of you have a responsibility. All the women of this church are mothers or grandmothers to my children, to Rachel's children, to the Steinman girls, to the Georges, to all the kids and to all the youth. And you can even be moms to adults like me. Some of you are becoming spiritual moms to me. And no matter your situation, no matter if today is as hard as can be, or if today is a day you celebrate, you, as godly women, are called to be mothers and grandmothers to all believers. Because mothers and grandmothers who can have a profound effect not only on your own children, but to children who are not even yours. Carla read part of the passage from Ruth today, and a few months ago we studied the love story from the book of Ruth. Ruth was not a Jew. Ruth left the land of her family. Then she lost her husband. She had no one. But her mother-in-law treated her like a daughter, loved her and cared for her so much that Ruth stayed with her and cared for her mother-in-law like a mom, even when she didn't have to. And because a godly woman like Naomi treated Ruth like a daughter, Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. And out of their descendants, we have King David all the way down to Jesus. And whether you are a mother, grandmother, mother-in-law, through the church, you become a mother figure or a grandmother figure to young people. You can have a great effect on people through your witness, through your life, through your wisdom, through your love. You can impact young people by teaching them the truth of God's word. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy was an understudy and traveling companion of Paul, who became one of the greatest evangelists and preachers in the early church. Paul doesn't give credit to Timothy's dad. Paul doesn't give credit to his rabbi. Paul said it was the first sincere faith of his grandmother passed on to his mother, who was instilled to Timothy. Going back to my mom, it took some time to heal when my mom left my dad. And as I've gotten older, I see and understand things a little differently. But one thing is for sure, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mom and her faith that got us into church. My dad didn't go to church at all when I was a young kid. My grandmother gave me my first Bible, and she continued to instill faith in me. And I also have to credit many strong women who, as Sunday school teacher, children's choir directors, elementary school teachers, and high school teachers, who influenced me with their faith. I went back to college in 2008 to complete the first degree I never completed. A strong Christian professor said to me, "You missed your calling." She literally wrote on a graded paper of mine, "You should be a pastor." She replanted a seed in me that had gone dormant. A year later, another woman who helped lead a men's choir, she used her faith to push me further to becoming a pastor. And others along the way have helped shape me into the man, the father, and the pastor that I am today. If you are motherless today or lack a good motherly relationship, look around you. This room is full of mothers and grandmothers. And for all the women here, look around you. This room is full of people that need you to be their mothers and grandmothers. And age doesn't matter, because there are godly women who continue today to shape who I am. I know this may be a difficult day for some, but for all those who are willing to do God's will, this day can be a day for all to enjoy. Because we are God's children. We are God's family. And if we can't love on each other, how are we going to love on this world? And we need to lift each other up. We need to encourage each other. We need to support each other. We need to love on each other. We need to forgive when we need to forgive, to give grace where grace is needed. And every now and then you need to give a swift kick in the pants when it's needed too. It's not for any of us to sit by and watch others struggle, because we all need that loving touch. We all need that caring person to be around us. And when the world starts seeing the way we treat and love each other, as the Bible says, then they will know we are his disciples, right? And then it's time for us to take that love beyond these walls. Because anybody who's ever been to a soup kitchen or a mission, you will find children in desperate need of love. And we've got some mission opportunities coming up, and I hope you'll be a part of that. Kids just dying for someone to hear them, see them, or notice them. This week, we saw a tragedy where some kids walked into a school and decided to shoot up other students. We hear about tragedies of suicide. We hear tragedies of children who run away from home because they have no hope. Just imagine if we as a church began to surround our community with love. What if we gave them figures that could be their mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers? Because I was blessed. I had a grandmother who was just absolutely wonderful to me. I was blessed. But do you know how many kids don't have that? And we as a church need to pick up these pieces of the broken world, and we need to start softening the edges, and we need to start giving them the love, and we need to start showing them what Jesus Christ can do to transform a life in any situation. You need to let the love of God change you. You need to have a heart that desires to seek and serve the people who are lost and hurting in this world. Our prisons are full of young men who need mothers and fathers. Our schools are full of children who need mothers and fathers. And I call on you today to first let us take care of each other. Because there's people here that are hurting and people here who are in need. But we can't spend all of our time on ourselves. Let's take the word of God to this community and let's give them the love they deserve. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that Mary gave us in the Bible. Let us just thank you that she loved her son and treasured him. And she treasured him all the way to the cross. She treasured him Sunday morning when they found the empty tomb. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who loved his mom. And we thank you for the love that he gave her. But we thank you more importantly for the example that he gave us, that we become more than just sons and daughters of our earthly parents. And when we become followers of God, when we follow Jesus Christ, and we do the will of the Father, we become greater than we are on our own. We become connected to one another. We love each other. We support each other, nurture each other, correct and rebuke when needed. But we always are there for each other. Lord, each of us can have a profound influence on not only the people in this church, but on many other kids. We never know what seed will be planted, and we never know what greatness will come out of that. But we didn't come here to see what we can do. We came here to see what you can do, Lord. May we use your power to change this world. Let us start with the person next to us. And then let us go into the community and make a difference. Give us the strength and the guidance to do all things in your will. And this we pray through the strength of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.